Okay, Luke chapter 1, while you're turning there, we'll start down there in verse 26. How about you just say amen if you were raised by a godly mother? Amen. I'll say amen to that. I'm blessed to have a mother who's still living, who still prays for me, loves me, and she still likes to spoil me. I like that. Billy Sunday said this about mothers. This is a good little quote from an incredible preacher. Being a king, emperor, or president is mighty small potatoes compared to being a mother. Commanding an army is little more than sweeping a street compared with training a boy or girl. The mother of Moses did more for the world than all the kings that Egypt ever had. Oh, you wait until you reach the mountains of eternity and then read the mother's names in God's Hall of Fame. A lot of truth to that one. John Wesley said, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. And don't you know, a mother oftentimes knows more than a Bible scholar. Amen to that? They don't always know everything, those Bible scholars. So let me ask you before we read here, and probably give it away to what I told you to turn to Luke chapter 1, but who would you consider the most famous mother in the Bible? You can venture a guess. Anybody? Okay, several Marys, and you're right. It's Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read here. It's going to be a lengthy passage here, but it's the Word of God, so I think it's worth reading. And I'll stop and probably make a few comments as we go. But let's start in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It's a good question. Verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen to that verse. Now, I'll stop and we'll pick up in a minute, but you've got Elizabeth mentioned here, and she's the mother of, help me out, John the Baptist, and she miraculously gives birth being barren. That's a miraculous birth. Mary is told here that she's going to give birth, though she be a virgin, another miraculous birth. Now let me ask you a question. Have you had a miraculous birth? You must be born again, the Lord Jesus Christ said. If you're born again, there came a time where you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you believe the Bible, you're born again by believing on what He did, His death, burial, resurrection. Realizing that you're a sinner, you can't earn salvation yourself. And if you called upon Him to be your Savior, the very moment you did that, you were born again. That's a miracle. For that to be made possible by Jesus Christ is the greatest thing ever. And for you to be saved is a miracle. So that's a supernatural birth or a miraculous birth as well. You say, how's that possible? Let me read verse 37 again for you. How is it possible for me to be born again? For with God nothing shall be impossible. God said that's how you're born again, through believing on Jesus Christ, and that is the truth. Okay, 38, let's pick it up. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I got to stop on this one. Folks, Elizabeth does not, she has not given birth yet. yet she has a baby in her womb. Now catch this. This developing baby in the womb is able to perceive a voice on the outside of the womb. What did the baby do whenever the baby heard the voice? You see? What happened? The babe leaped in her womb. This is a whole other sermon, but I'll just preach it in 5 seconds. There's life in the womb. And if it's taken away while in the womb, it's murder. That's a great proof text right there of life in the womb. The baby in the womb responds, that's a nervous system function, to a voice being spoken. Somehow that child in the womb perceives and hears and then responds to that. There's life there, folks. Anyway, well, that's for another day. But it's a good message. Look at verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God. Notice the words there, my Savior. Mary needed a Savior, folks. Hit this more again in a moment, but that's very important you understand that. 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So this morning we're going to have some lessons from a believing mother, and that would be Mary. So let's pray together and we'll take a look at this. Thank you, Lord, for just how good you are to us. And we sure want to just praise you this morning specifically for godly mothers. We've got several here right in our midst. And I just thank you, Lord, that there are women that realized how important childcare is from a biblical perspective, and just leading a child in those early years and even in the later years, having just a great influence spiritually. We just want to thank you, Lord, for godly mothers. We just want to thank you for being able to read this account here. We just want to pray that we would take something, all of us would take something, whether it's a man or a woman, learn something from this account about Mary. And we just thank you for putting this in the scriptures for us to learn from, and I pray that we all are able to glean some spiritual truth this morning, and we ask your help in doing that. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so most famous mother in the Bible, I think you can make a case for that. And notice that Mary, I'll jump ahead here, but we finished up there in last part there, verse 46, just so we get a perspective with Mary here. Verse 46 again, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify who? All right, so the Catholics are going to exalt Mary far above what she should be as far as exaltation. But the Baptists are kind of bad about kicking Mary to the curb. Folks, have a balanced approach here. Mary was a great woman. Can we say that? At the same time, Mary needed a Savior. It's in the next verse. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. If she needed a Savior, that means she was a sinner like me and you. So I just want to make sure we get that out of the way. As we look at Mary, there's something to learn from her. I'm a man, and as I studied this, I learned a great deal about myself from studying Mary here. So let's see if we can learn some things here. There's nothing wrong with saying that she's a great woman, as long as we just put it in the right perspective here. And by the way, you men here, you may not like this, but this is God. This is God and His truth. God will use a woman to communicate a message to a man. So as I read this, I had to humble myself as a man and realized this is a woman I, as a man, can learn a great deal from. So let me say that statement again. God will use a woman to communicate His truth to a man. You're in Luke. Go back a few pages to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. See, the Lord knows men and women. And the Lord knows that out of man and a woman, the one more inclined to keep the mouth closed is a man. And the more inclined to open the mouth is the woman. I mean, back in the days, used to have telegraph. Then we had telephone. And now it's telewoman. Right? Hey, God knows that. Here's the thing about the Lord using women. God knows that a woman will speak up oftentimes more so than a man. I'm just being honest. That's the truth. You guys here that are here, you know that's true sometimes. A woman oftentimes just doesn't, she just lets it rip. Sometimes to her detriment, other times to her benefit and to the Lord's benefit. But look at Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 9. God using a woman. Look at verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to who? A woman. Notice this woman. Out of whom he had cast how many devils? There's a woman that the Lord Jesus Christ did a great work in. And she's the first one to see him after he rises from the dead. That says a lot about women and God using women. And you know what she does? Look what happens here. Look at verse 10. And she went and did what? She told them. She told them who she saw. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Look at verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what'd they do? Just like a man, right, fellas? Prove it. I don't believe it. Just like a man. Hey, folks, I just show you that because there's a lesson to learn from a woman, even if you're a man. In this chapter, in Luke chapter 1, let's all learn some lessons from a woman. And a mother at that. And then you ladies, hopefully this is just, you realize it's a woman. I can obviously learn something. But I had to get that out of the way for us men. Go back there to Luke. And I want to give you 3 points here this morning from this passage. The first one here has to do with revealing. Revealing. God sent Gabriel to Mary with a revelation. A revealing of things to come that included Mary, and it also included things far into the future. I'm not sure if you were really paying close attention there when we read, but Gabriel shows up, and go down there to verse 32. Look what Gabriel says about the man who will be first born of Mary and then obviously grow up. Look what he says about this baby who will obviously become a man. Look at verse 32. He shall be, what's that next word? And shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now watch this part. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay, got to know a little bit of Old Testament here. The throne of David would be what kind of a throne? Help me out this morning, folks. What kind of a throne? Obviously, it's going to be a king. King sits on a throne, but what's the... Give me the background. From what nation? Israel, a Jew. The Lord just told Mary that he would have the throne of his father David. That's a Jewish throne. And then look at the next verse. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. You know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. How long? Folks, this is 2,000 years ago. How far into the future did Gabriel tell Mary things that were going to happen? Far beyond 2020. Let me ask you right now, is there a Jewish king on a Jewish throne reigning in Israel? There's not. There's a prime minister. And he only has jurisdiction in his country. There will come a day. I mean, do you believe what's written here? There's going to come a day where there will be a Jewish throne. And Jesus Christ will sit on that throne. He will reign from Jerusalem, and he will reign over the entire world. It's coming. It's coming. One thing with watching all that's going on in our world right now, Pastor said this a few weeks ago to me, and I thought, man, how did I miss this? He said, Pastor said, I'm just waiting, with all that's going on, waiting for something significant to take place in Israel. And it's bound to happen. Maybe this week, maybe still a little ways down the road. But it's going to happen. Some serious action that pertain to world events will take place in Israel sooner or later. Okay, look what else he says here. Look at verse 33 there. I'm not sure if I read that. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So that's the reign of Jesus Christ. So that's some truth revealed to Mary there. And Mary is not the first woman in the Bible to have truth revealed to her by an angel. Can you think of anybody else in your Bible? Truth revealed to a woman by an angel. Let's take a look at it. Go to Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. An angel showing up and giving some spiritual truth to a woman will be very, very important. Go to Judges 13. See who this is. Judges 13. Look down there at verse 2. Judges 13, verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was, what's the word, folks? And bare not. Okay, a woman who's barren, let's make sure we get this straight, a woman who's barren cannot have a child. For her to have a child would take a miracle. God's into that miracle business, though, isn't he? Look at verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. There it is, angel appearing to this woman, and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Watch this last part. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Folks, there is a pronouncement or revealing of future events involving a man that would deliver Israel that would first have to be born of a woman who could not have children. Are you seeing here how God is in the business of miraculous births, and out of those miraculous births, someone of great significance comes? Do you know who this is here? Who's the baby that's born? You remember? It's Samson, and Samson had his issues. We can all say that, but Samson did. He was used by God to deliver Israel. So there's one example, and there's a couple more we can look at, but I thought that was a good one there to kind of match up with deliverance of Israel, Samson, and deliverance of Israel with guess who else? The Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought that matched there. So here's a question I'd like to ask you with this first point this morning. How do you respond when God reveals truth to you? How do you respond when God reveals His truth to you? You have the opportunity this morning to hear truth, don't you? But you can sit in a pew in a church, and as the truth is going forth, you can put up a wall and the truth never has any effect on you. I say that because I speak from experience. I've been there, done that. For many years, I was saved, but I go to church really just for the sake of saying I went to church. And the truth is going out, it's going out, it's going out. And I had a wall up because I was just doing my duty. Folks, if you're at church, don't just do your duty. In fact, church should not be a duty. If you come to church, you should be here to get some truth revealed to you from the Word of God. And then let that truth enter into your heart so that it actually does something to you. It actually changes you. This is the challenge every time you come to church. Is your heart in a place where it's ready to receive the truth of God's Word? Back there to Luke, here's the response that you should have whenever God's Word is revealed. Go back there to Luke chapter 1 if you're not there. Mary just got some incredible revelation, didn't she? And look at her response, and I think we can all learn a great deal about how to respond to truth by her response. Look down there at right after verse 33, about this kingdom that the child she will give birth to, he'll have this reign forever. And then look at 34. Here's her response. Then said Mary unto the angel. What's that first word? How? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I think that's a pretty good question. Have you ever read the Bible and said to yourself, how is this ever going to take place the way that God said it's going to take place? Have you ever asked that question? I have. And I will tell you what. Since March, I have said to myself, what a fool I am for thinking that there's no way this could all come to play the way that God said it is. It would. Because this, this, and this has to happen. And it all happened in about a week. I mean, I'm not talking about the rapture, it hadn't happened yet, but preparation for the tribulation, which the rapture will precede, all just, I mean, you see it lining up? This is the, I've said this many times, but I'll say it again, this is the joy of being a Bible-believing Christian living in the year 2020. You can look at world events, and rather than get distraught, you can get excited knowing what's to come. It ought to excite you that we are, I mean, we're on the cusp, folks. We're right there where the trumpet's going to sound. I mean, we're right there. Now, it might get worse for us before it gets the rapture happens. It might get a little difficult. But what you're seeing now is just a precursor to the great tribulation. And it might get a little tough for us. But, folks, you're saved. You'll be delivered from that time. Because that's God's wrath on this earth during that time. And if you're saved, aren't you delivered from the wrath of God? Amen. So you see these things lining up. But I have done like Mary, and I've said, how? And notice how the angel spells it out for her in the next couple of verses. And he tells her how this is going to happen, that she will give birth. Holy Ghost come upon thee, power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And he explains it. Here's a great thing about the Bible and about the Lord. You can come to a place in the Bible and wonder how it's all going to take place. Or maybe wonder, how, Lord, can I understand this? And I think a great thing for all of us to do when we get to the place in the Bible where you read something you don't quite understand, I think it's okay to ask the Lord, how? Lord, would you show me, would you help me understand how this is all going to come to pass? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mary did it, didn't she? And the Lord gave her, notice what happened. Because she asked the question, the angel gives her some more details. You think the Lord might do the same thing for me and you? I can say I've been in places in my Bible and I'll say, what in the world, Lord? What does that mean? How? Like, how can I understand? This is the question I ask. How can I understand this? I don't get it. And I think that's a good, honest place and a good, honest question to ask the Lord is, how? Help me understand this, Lord. And here's what's happened to me time and time again. The Lord doesn't always give it to you right then, but maybe you're reading your Bible one day a week or two later. And all of a sudden, boom, there's your answer. You ever been there? Isn't that the neatest thing? How God will reveal truth to you in His time. And if you ask the question how, He'll give you the answer. He just might not do it immediately. In fact, if He doesn't give it to you immediately, it keeps you searching. And what are we supposed to do? John chapter 5, search the Scriptures, right? That's the responsibility of every believer. Okay, so revealing here. She responds in a way where she wants to know more. I think that's a good thing to learn there. Now, God's revealed truth does not always make sense at the time it is revealed. Well, that is the truth. God's truth does not always make sense when it is revealed to you. But it should not change the fact that it is God's truth. Folks, if you understood everything in the Bible, wouldn't you be on even par with God Himself? And we're not. So there's going to be some things that we don't quite get. And that keeps us digging, keeps us searching. All right, so notice verse 31 there. I'm sorry, go down there to verse 34. She asked the question, and then I'll read 35, 36 again here. The angel answered and said to her, here's the insight. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Folks, if you put yourself in Mary's shoes hearing that verse, do you still scratch your head or do you say, okay, I believe that? What do you do when you read verse 35? If it's me, I'm still scratching my head. But you're going to see here in a minute, she didn't do that. Look at 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's a good reminder. And then look at 38. We'll get to this second point right here in just a moment. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Watch this part right here. Be it unto me according to what? Thy word. And the angel departed from her. When I read verse 38, I see Mary believed the truth that was revealed to her. Even though it might not have all made sense to her, she believed it anyway. That's a great lesson for me and you, folks. In this day we live in, don't stop believing what God said. And don't ever get to the place where you say, I give up, there's too much there I can't understand. Keep digging, keep asking the Lord to help you understand, and in time God will give you some more insight. That's the way that God does that. All right, so real quick, before we get to this next point here, go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Still on this first point, revealing. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, you should know some things about the Apostle Paul. You should know that the Lord gave the Apostle Paul a lot of insight, particularly into truths that applied specifically to the church age. So when you look at Ephesians 3, you find out a little bit about this. Look at verse 1. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Okay, let me stop. Hopefully you know, Paul is not a Gentile. Paul is a Jew. Keep that in mind because that'll be important in a moment. Look at verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by, what's that next word? There's revealing, revelation. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now, what's the word? As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, verse 6, he's going to tell you what he's talking about. This truth in verse 6 was not revealed until the Lord revealed it to Paul. And you know what Paul did? He did what we're supposed to do. He took the truth that God revealed to him and he gave it to me and you. We're supposed to give it to other people as well. So look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? Okay, the whole idea here is Paul was revealed truth that both Jews and Gentiles could be saved by believing in Jesus Christ. You say, well, duh. But you've got to understand the Bible. In the Bible, you understand your whole Old Testament revolves mainly around one group of people. And who is that? It's the Jews. You get the New Testament. Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's very Jewish. Paul, a Jew, gets revealed to him truth from God that, hey, now you Gentiles, raise your hand if you're a Gentile. I think probably all of us in here. Now you're only, okay, I guess not everybody's a Gentile. Only half of you raise your hand. Gentiles can be saved the same way that a Jew is saved by believing on Jesus Christ. That's the truth that God revealed there to Paul. So revelation, very, very important. Let's go to this next point. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Revealing. The question I'll ask you this morning is, what are you going to do with the truth that God's revealed to you? Hopefully you do like Mary did. We'll get to this next point. This next point is believing. Believing. 38 again. 138. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Folks, Mary might not have understood all the details, but according to verse 38, and we'll look at another verse here in a minute, she believed what was revealed to her by that angel. Now, look at a contrast here. Now, this is not going to be real popular for us men here, but let's look at the contrast. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Or you're already there. Go back a little earlier, and let's look at verse... This is Zacharias here. Let's go down there to verse 16. This is God, the angel here, revealing to Zacharias, a man, while he's in the temple, playing the role here, doing the incense offering. And if you look at verse 16, here's some truth revealed to Zacharias, a man. So us men, watch this. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. That's spoken of John the Baptist. Verse 17, and he, John the Baptist, shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now watch Zacharias' response here. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. You notice there that Zacharias has some doubts. You see that in verse 19, fellas? This angel tells him some incredible things, something that is impossible in the eyes of Zacharias. And he's got his doubts. And look what happens here. Look at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Look at 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed because thou, what's the next two words? believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, fellas, isn't it just like the Lord here to show the contrast with Mary, a woman, and Zacharias, a man, as to the right way to respond to God's revealed truth? Who actually fared better here, fellas? Mary. Don't want to say it very loud, do we? This is just like the Lord to do this. Hey, you understand that we talk about this in Sunday school. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ at the top, right? You've got the husband who's supposed to yield to Jesus Christ below him. And then you've got the wife who's to submit to the husband. That's the right order. Jesus Christ, the husband and the wife. And you say, well, that means that God put the wife at the bottom. Well, that is the hierarchy that God put things. But don't you think for a second that a woman is less important than a man? It just happens to be her role. Folks, importance is not the issue. It's just the role there. A man and a woman are of equal importance to God Almighty. You know that God, fellas, you might not like this, but it's true. God gave women the ability to do things that we could never do. Ladies, God gave men abilities that a woman could never do the right way. You follow me on that? So this Mother's Day. Guys, fellas, we'd be lousy mothers. God made man to be a father, not a mother. Now, I got agreement in here in this place today, but our world is trying to twist this thing around and make a father act more like a mother. And the result of that is a little boy who acts too much like a little girl. That's our world trying to mess things up. And it happens when you get out of that order, doesn't it? Okay, I wasn't planning on going there, but it's worth saying. All right, so let's look at this. Zacharias, his problem in verse 20, thou believest not my words. Go over there to Luke, later on there in the chapter, look at verse 48. You find out that Elizabeth says something really incredible here about Mary. Actually, back up there, it's 45. Look at 45. And this is Elizabeth talking about Mary. And blessed is she that did what? Believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Folks, the right response to God's revealed truth is to, help me out here, believe it. Believe it. So simple, yet sometimes so hard. Believe what God said. Now, let me show you a couple things here. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. And I say Isaiah 9 and usually think about Christmas time. But this actually is not just about a baby being born. It's actually going to match up with what we saw there in Luke 1. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. It said over there in Luke, Elizabeth said, there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. All right, now keep that in mind. Performance of those things which were told her. Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, before I go on, who is this about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's incredible prophecy there. Did you notice there in verse 6, the Mighty God, capital G, the Everlasting Father, capital F. Great verse on the deity of Jesus Christ. Put that one in your pocket. You're going to need that one whenever you talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Or anybody who doesn't believe in the deity of Christ. That's a good one. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of who? We saw that in Luke chapter 1. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even. There it is. Forever. Now watch the last part of verse 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? Perform this. Folks, when God says something, 100% of the time He will perform it. Perform it means He'll bring it to pass. Now, how does this pertain to me and you? Go to the New Testament. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Have you ever asked yourself, knowing some truths about the rapture, and at the rapture, how everybody who's saved at the rapture, you can go to Philippians, we're in Philippians 1, but you can look at Philippians 3 and 1 Corinthians 15 to get this truth. At the rapture, my body and the body of everybody who's saved, your body if you're saved, at the rapture transforms into a sinless body like that of Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself the question, how? Have you ever asked that? Because we've never seen that before. How is that going to take place? Keep this verse in mind when you think about how could that happen. Look at verse 6, Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, where does it start? What's that next word? A good work in you will do what? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Guess what that day of Jesus Christ, you know what happens on that day? I believe that day of Christ refers to the rapture. And at the rapture, that's when everybody who's saved, their body is changed into a body like that of Jesus Christ. How? Well, God said it. And verse 6, he will, what's the word we're looking at? Perform it. How? I can't give you the details. He'll perform it. All right? Real quick, you're in Philippians. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to know how, well, I'll give you a little bit of insight into how. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter in your Bible, in your New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, go towards the end there. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Here's how that will happen. 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be what? We shall all be changed. Here it is, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. I love that next word. Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There's a little bit about how. But still, do you ask yourself the question after reading that? How? I don't know how exactly, other than that's what it says. I believe that God's going to bring his word to pass. He'll perform that which he said he will do. So Mary shows all of us the right way to respond to God's revealed truth. Don't miss this. Folks, simply believe what God said. Just believe it. Go over to John chapter 20. What happens when you believe the word of God? When you believe what God said, you make it personal. What happens? Take a look at this verse. We took a look at this verse back on Resurrection Sunday, but it's a good one to look at again with this thing about belief. If you remember this chapter here, this is at the end where Thomas does not believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he said, I want to see his hands and his feet, and then I'll believe it. And then if you look there, the Lord shows up in verse 26, tells Thomas to reach his finger and behold his hands and reach into his side. And then if you look there at verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Watch this part. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have. Have you seen Jesus Christ? You'd be lying if you said you have. The only way that you have seen him is through the pages of the Scriptures. Your belief in him, if you're saved, your belief is that what the Scriptures say about his death, burial, and resurrection, and about my sin and your sin, and about being saved from him, from sin by believing in his death, burial, resurrection, and calling upon him to save you, all that is written right here, and salvation is activated when you just simply do what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not complicate the matter. It's really very simple. Go to Romans chapter 3, a little bit more on this same subject of belief. Blessing through belief. I hope you came this morning. You want to be blessed. According to what we're reading here in Luke chapter 1 and doing some cross-referencing, the key to being blessed by God is believing what God said. So look at Romans chapter 3. Look down there at verse 20. 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now that's a great verse to show that nobody can be saved by good works. Amen to that? Nobody can be saved by, quote, living a good life. You'd fail miserably every time. You have failed if you're honest. Now look at 21. Here's the good news. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God. Now hold on a second. Is there any greater righteousness than the righteousness of God? That is the top when it comes to righteousness. So watch what the verse says. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that do what? Believe, for there is no difference. You see how simple salvation is? It is so simple. It's a matter of being honest with God about who you are and what you really deserve, and also believing that Jesus Christ paid the price for you. And it's as simple as believing that and calling on Him to save you, and you're saved. Folks, if you doubt your salvation, you know what you're doing? You're doubting that what God said is actually true. That's the truth. And I know that because I've been in that boat before. And I had to come to grips with the fact that if I'm doubting that I'm saved, what I am saying is I don't believe what God wrote down here for me. And I do believe what God wrote down for me. I wrestled with that for a while in my Christian life. And it's all about, can you trust what is written down here in God's Word? Do you believe it? Because the belief activates salvation. So simple, yet so complicated by many. All right, when God reveals His truth, hopefully you got this, but I'm going to repeat it again. When God reveals His truth, what's the right response, folks? Believe it. Learn a lesson from Mary. Believe what God said, even if it doesn't make sense. Believe it. God will show it to you in time. You've probably heard someone say, we are living in the information age. You heard that before? Especially with the internet. Information age. I disagree. Today we are living in the misinformation age. There is so much to evaluate in our world today with little proof as to whether it is true or not. I may not be able to trust what anyone says from any news outlet, but I can certainly trust that what God says is true 100% of the time. You want to fix your fears and your worries about what's going on in the world? Spend way more time in God's Word than you do listening to anybody else. It'll just remove your fears and worries. If you haven't noticed that, we live in a world now where people like for you to be afraid. And your Bible says, how many times, over and over, be not afraid. If you know the Lord, you've got no reason to be afraid. Now, somebody who doesn't know the Lord, oh yeah, you got a reason to be afraid. If you know the Lord, you got no reason to be afraid, folks. Okay, so the lesson, believe what God said, even if you don't quite get it all, just believe it. Learn a lesson this morning from a believing mother, Mary. When God reveals His truth, just believe it. Go back over there to Luke chapter 1. I tell you what, go back to Luke 1. Find John 3. We'll get this last thing on belief, and then we'll get this last point real quick. Go to John 3 before you go back to Luke 1. Go to John chapter 3. This thing on belief. Really so simple when it comes to salvation. Now, one thing I'll say that a lot of people don't spend enough time on when it comes to salvation. Folks, when you witness to folks, you got to make sure that there's a point that you drive home. And I think this is oftentimes missed. The point that you got to drive home before anything else is that, and that person's got to admit, they have to say, I am a sinner. I am wicked. I am unrighteous. I deserve hell. That's number one, folks. A lot of times we want to just gloss over that. That is important. You got to get that first point. If they can't take that first step and admit that they are the problem, you can't go any further. And I say that because if you've been around, whether door to door or just wherever you find people, witness to them, passing out tracts, you'll come across people that will not agree with you wholeheartedly that they are really all that bad. Sherry and I had a woman here a while back at the door, older woman, probably in her 80s, and we spent a little bit of time with her, and at the end of the conversation, she pointed at all the houses around about her, and she said, surely, I'm not going to get this exactly right, but I'm paraphrasing, surely these people out here are a lot worse than I am. Surely there's somebody out there that's worse than I am. Okay, what she said might have been true, but it doesn't negate the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So first step, step number one, you're not going to actually get what Jesus Christ did for you being all that great unless you first realize how miserable you are as a sinner. Then you understand why he did what he did on behalf of sinners. Okay, so John 3 on that. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Okay, I said that Mary was blessed for her belief in what God said. Folks, can you get a better blessing than everlasting life? Try top that one. Well, I'll have Cracker Barrel for lunch today. I'll have a good dessert afterwards. You think that's better than everlasting life? Come on now. We've got a lot of great blessings in our world. What greater blessing is there by believing than everlasting life? Can you think of one? That is the greatest. So look what the rest of the verse says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When I read verse 36, I see two groups and only two groups. Those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who have not. Are you seeing the blessing for believing? Everlasting life. Are you seeing the consequence for not believing? The wrath of God. Is that an easy choice or what? Such an easy choice. Great blessing through believing. Go back there to Luke chapter 1. Let me get this last little point here and then we'll wrap it up. Luke chapter 1. Mary, the angel Gabriel revealed an incredible amount of truth to her. The right response is a response we all ought to have when God reveals His truth. It is to believe it. If it doesn't make all the sense, believe it anyway. If you can't quite figure it all out, believe it anyway. Now, here is what should follow believing God's Word. It's really neat the way that the Lord lays all this out. Here, men and women alike, here's a lesson from a mother here. And I know she's not a mother at this point yet, but notice that she's got the right idea. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." So here's this last point. Magnifying. Magnifying. I looked up that word to get a definition on magnify. And I think that's a very interesting word choice by the Holy Spirit in that verse. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Have you ever used a magnifying glass? You ever use one of those? The magnifying glass made something small appear to be much larger. So here's magnify. To increase the apparent size of something. Or, I like this one, to cause to seem greater or more important. To cause to seem greater or more important. Last definition, to extol or to praise highly. Folks, you know what Mary was doing here? The world, and one particular so-called church denomination, likes to magnify Mary. Mary magnified who? The Lord. She was small. He's big. Get that. You and me are small. He's big. He deserves to be, what's the word? Magnified. You know what the world needs to see? The world sees him as small. The world will only see him as big when we begin to do what? Magnify him. So a couple verses on that. Go to John 3. Keep your finger here in Luke. John 3. John chapter 3. Old John the Baptist was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he had a short ministry, but his ministry was important. He prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, if you wanted to take one verse and make it the way that you live your life, this would be a really good one to choose. If you want to live your life pleasing to the Lord according to one verse of Scripture, this would be a good one. Look at John 3, verse 30. Here's John the Baptist. John 3:30. He must what? Increase. But I must what? Increase. You mean kind of like magnify? He's big. I'm not. That's the idea. He's important. I'm not. The only way I am anything is because of who he is. That's the right idea. I'm nothing without him. I'm worthless without him. That's the idea. Keep going there in John 3. If you look at verse 31, he that cometh from above is above what? He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Reminded there, above all twice. Isn't that interesting? I want you to think about that verse as it pertains to our modern situation. I mean, you always ought to do this when you read the Bible. You know what you're hearing if you turn on the TV? You know what you're hearing, folks? A whole lot of earthly speaking. They're not looking at it from a heavenly or eternal or spiritual perspective. Folks, you got to be very careful about earthly perspectives on anything. I mentioned this several weeks ago when this thing first started, and I've been reminded of it just thinking about this whole thing. I teach biology, and one thing in biology we teach the kids is the scientific method. And in the scientific method, what you first do is you ask a question. And then you go about finding the answer to that question. Isn't that right, Miley? You probably just learned this here recently. You've learned it before. You go through and you form a hypothesis. Now, is a hypothesis always 100% accurate? No, in fact, if you're a scientist, you know you actually learn a lot when your hypothesis is wrong. How do you find out if your hypothesis is right or wrong? Your hypothesis. And after you test your hypothesis, you look at all the results you got, and now you can draw some conclusions. And the conclusions might be, I was wrong, back to the drawing board. You know what you're living right in the middle of right now as we speak? You and I are living in the middle of a science experiment. The hypothesis was developed back in March, and the experiment is taking place as you and I speak. And you can't draw conclusions until it's all over. But what have they been doing ever since they began with the hypothesis before the experiment? They started drawing conclusions. Isn't that something? That's why it keeps changing. That's just a little side sermon. I think that's really interesting. All that verse there about verse 31, watch out about things spoken strictly from an earthly perspective. You got to get the heavenly perspective. You got to get the biblical perspective, all right? Back there to Luke chapter 1. Let's see what Mary said here, and then we'll finish this up. Luke chapter 1 there, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Notice verse 46, Mary mentions her soul, my soul. Look at verse 47, and my, what's that next thing? My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. I just point out soul and spirit there in those two verses to remind us all that the work of salvation begins on the inside. It's an inward work. It's a spiritual work. If you had time, we'd go to Philippians 1, verse 21. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has begun a work in you. It starts on the inside. Notice that Mary knows where God's work originates. It's in the soul and it's in the spirit. All right, keep going here. Look at 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Isn't that the truth? Are we still seeing she was a blessed woman today? And I think one of the reasons, we could say several, but one of the reasons is she responded to the truth revealed to her by believing it. And then she allowed herself to be greatly used by God. And you know what she had to do? She had to yield herself to God's plan to do that. She had to submit herself to what God wanted. All right, look at verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Can you say verse 49? Can you say that? And I mean, be honest and say that. Has God done for you mighty things? How about we all do like Mary did? How about we brag on the Lord? How about we tell other people? We're reading the words of a woman 2,000 years ago, and she's magnifying the Lord and talking about how great he is. You think we might be able to learn something from that? How about we all talk about how great God is? That's what the world needs to hear. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. If you're saved, you got the mercy of God. He did not give you what you deserved. He didn't give me what I deserved. Talking about hell. Mercy is you not getting that punishment. God being forbearing towards you, not giving you that. Look at verse 51. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Only God can do that. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. See if you can say this one. Verse 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Amen to that. being 12 o'clock. And the rich he has sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. There's a whole lot there. I'll just end it with this. Folks, the saved, the duty of everybody who's saved is to follow the lead of Mary right here and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Very interesting. Go back there and look at that encounter with Mary meeting up with Elizabeth. And it's really interesting that we said that that babe, John the Baptist, leaped when he heard Mary's voice, didn't we? We said that. You know why Mary's voice had any kind of significance at that point at all? It all had to do with someone who was in her at the time. Someone who was in her. And as a result of who was in her, the Lord Jesus Christ, what did she do? She magnified the Lord, the one who was in her. Isn't that amazing? Real quick, I will end up over here. Go to Romans chapter 8. We'll finish up here. You can leave Luke chapter. Romans chapter 8. Let's see if we can learn something here from Mary about magnifying the Lord because of who, not what, but who is in us. Romans 8, great chapter on the Christian life and the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And if you go down there to verse 9, actually look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is his. Okay? Verse 9, you should know this. 1 Corinthians 6 says, if you're saved, who's living inside you? The Spirit of God. We'll look at verse 10, though. And if, who? If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Folks, the work that God wants to do is from the inside out. And if you are saved, that's the Lord Jesus Christ who's in you. Now, in Mary, it was an actual physical presence. For me and you, it's a spiritual presence. I don't think it's any different as far as what it leads to. Her voice, her words led to another one responding with great joy when she spoke because of who was in her. Folks, our words ought to cause some to have great joy because of who is in us. What a great lesson from Mary. Folks, she got God's word revealed to her. You had that? The response she had was, she couldn't figure it all out completely, but she believed it. You done that? Keep believing. Keep believing what God said. It's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Number three, as a result of believing, natural response, according to your Bible, after believing what God said, is to magnify the Lord. You been doing that? Good question we should all ask ourselves. What do you think God might want from us in the week ahead? How about we learn a lesson from Mary? Magnify the Lord. All those verses that we read there where she started saying, my soul doth Lord, it all became all about the Lord and nothing about her. In fact, she saw where she was way down here. She saw herself as she really was and the Lord as magnified. Great lesson this morning about responding, believing, and magnifying the Lord. I hope you take that to heart. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Just what a powerful book you've given us that is covers all the bases, tells us about everything we need to know. And Lord, we thank you for just your revealed truth. Help us to respond with a heart of belief. And I pray that folks in this room here today would magnify you as a result of that. We want to pray for your help in just responding in this invitation time and also in the week ahead to your words as you've given them to us this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.